Wildcats football. 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 Welcome to the Married with Picks podcast. Season 4. Episode 3, week 3. So I don't know how your picks did last week. I had a rough 1 o'clock. Lions, Raiders, Bengals. Did better through 4. 2 ended up being pushes. The Saints. And thank you, Sean McVay, for kicking a field goal with 4 seconds left to bring that to a push as well.
Yeah, this is week 3. Married with Picks. Try to get on the winning board here. I did a little bit better than week 1, but it wasn't on fire.
All right. So this
bad beats.
This week we have a lot of big lines and a few games that could be impacted by weather. So any game on the Upper East Coast is subject to this, whatever they're calling it, that's coming through. So
it's close to a tropical storm. That's what they're monitoring for. But this is the beginning of hurricane season, so they're looking like those types of storms shooting up the East Coast.
I know, but I heard somebody say it was like a cyclone, which we don't hear about cyclones.
Yeah, so it's New England at the Jets, right? That's going to be impacted.
Yeah. Washington. Commanders and Ravens.
And the Ravens, yeah. The Ravens are playing who?
The Colts.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew.
All right, so let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
All right.
We're starting with game 1, which on my sheet.
Reel me back in, Jacqueline. It's okay.
Is the Titans at the Browns.
Doing a good job of it so far.
Browns are -3.5-point favorites. So I've been on the Titans the last 2 weeks as a dog. It's worked out the last 2 weeks. I'm going back there this week. I'm a little more worried about it this week. The Titans offensive line has kind of been the weak point for them from the get-go. And the Browns have a pretty good defense. They lost Nick Chubb last week. So if they're going to win, it's going to be on Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I have a lot of faith that he is going to pull that off. They've only had 1 offensive touchdown through the first 2 weeks. And they did play the Bengals and the Steelers in the first 2 weeks. Obviously, Bengals with Joe Burrow, maybe not at full strength. And Steelers is just not a good offense. Vrabel has pretty good stats as a dog, and he is familiar with Watson from his time in Texas, so in Houston with the Texans. So I'm going back to the well. I'm a little less confident in it this week, but I'm going Titans. What do you got?
I'm on the other side. I like Cleveland this week. They're going back home. It was a tough game against Pittsburgh. They pretty much handled them until a couple parts in the second half. Kenny Pickett hit a long one for about 70 yards. So I think Cleveland, you know, playing on the road, looked tough. They have no Nick Chubb, right? They signed Kareem Hunt, but, you know, he's coming off the street, so I wouldn't expect much out of him this week. So I still like Watson. I think he keeps creeping himself along each week, getting better. You can see he's getting a little more comfortable and more comfortable.
Can you see that when he's pushing the ref? Because he's frustrated at the end of the game because he got sacked and he fumbled the ball and it led to basically them losing the game.
I see a competitor.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of it because there's a possibility that he never gets back to what he was. But I really like his long-term prospects as he plays each week. I think, you know, we'll see about mid-season where he's at. But I like Cleveland. I think Tennessee, they're, even though it's 3.5, in some places, I think Cleveland's going to, they're 1-1 and Tennessee's 1-1. I think Tennessee can't go on the road and win this game. I think it's about a 7-point game. So I'm sticking with Cleveland.
All right. Opposite side to that one.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is the Chargers at the Vikings. Vikings are favored by 1.5. So both these teams are 0-2 to start the season. One of them's going to be 0-3 at the end of this game. Chargers will be without Eckler again. I don't know really what to do with this game. Both teams obviously desperately need the win. And Brandon Staley in LA has got to be feeling the heat because people were calling for him to be fired last year, possibly the year before. And now here we are with no wins 3 weeks into the season. So it's kind of a must win for both teams. I think it will be a close game.
It's definitely a must win. I mean, how many teams do you go start 0-2 and go to the playoffs, let alone 0-3?
I mean, I know it's
hard to say 3 weeks in and we got an extra game at the end of the season. So it's really not, I guess, technically a must win, but it is a must win. You can't come back from 0-3. It's really difficult.
I mean, the Vikings were 12-4 on the season last year. Was it 12-4? I don't know. But regardless, I mean, they're looking at three losses if they lose this game to start. So I don't have a good feel for who's necessarily going to win this game, but I think it's going to be a close game. So, and with a lot of big point spreads on the card this week, I'm going to do a teaser. So I think whoever ends up being the dog in this, you just tease them and feel pretty comfortable.
I think, you know, it's what the line's 1.5 in one place, but it's one. It's basically a pick, right? I want to take Minnesota because they're at home. They should have won the game last week on the road against the Eagles. There's a couple of key mistakes. I mean, you fumbled a ball approaching the goal line over the pylon that takes 7 points off the board and then going the other way. They scored before halftime, the Eagles did. So I think you got to take Minnesota here. They're home. They're going to feel more comfortable. Cousins, I think a lot of people are on the Chargers side of this one, but you're looking at, you know, a lot of like new coordinators on the Chargers side, both sides of the ball. 0-2, I think they go, I think it's too tall of a task to ask them without Eckler to go into Minnesota, keep Minnesota off the board from 0-3. And as much as you know, I don't like to take the Minnesota Kirk Cousins side. I'm going to go with them here.
Yeah, I mean, we saw like Philadelphia ran the ball a lot against the Vikings last week and obviously had success there. The Chargers, if they had Eckler, maybe that could be their philosophy, but I don't know if they can do that with Josh Kelly. So,
yeah, also the Eagles have a dominant offensive line. So, you know, I don't know if it's as much of Minnesota getting moved. They are running more of a linebacker heavy offense or defense. So if you have a bigger line, you can move them around. Chargers line's not as great. And like you said, without Eckler there, I think it's too tall of a task to ask for them to go in and hold Minnesota down for the third straight week, especially as good as Minnesota looked last week in the loss to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. All right. So you're on the Vikings.
Minnesota. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
All right. All right. So the next game is the Patriots at the Jets. And you will have to watch for the weather in this one to see what ends up coming through here this weekend. Patriots are favored by 2.5. This is probably my favorite game of the week. Zach Wilson has faced Bill Belichick 4 times. He's lost all 4. He's had 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in those games. Patriots have won every game against the Jets for the last 14 games. You can go all the way back to 2011. They only have 2 losses, both of which were in overtime. One was a Fitzmagic touchdown to Eric Decker. So I would definitely play the Patriots defense if you're playing any fantasy football this weekend. And I'm going with the Patriots.
Yeah, I think you said it all. Zach Wilson has not beaten Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick's defensive schemes are probably too much for him to handle. I like New England as well.
And I think even if the weather does end up being bad, that just works in the Patriots' favor as well.
Yeah, defense, muck and grind.
All right, so next.
Watch out for a big game from Stevenson.
Next game is the Bills at the Commanders. Bills are -6.5 point favorites. This is another one to watch for the weather on. And this could change my opinion of this game if the weather does end up being really bad. But last week, the Bills proved me wrong. Maybe they're at the top of the back of the hill.
Did you notice the shirt I got on this week?
Steve just happened to be in Buffalo.
This is a shout out to the Buffalo Bills Mafia up there in Buffalo that I visited this week. I was walking out. I got a little token here of the famous pregame ritual that they do up in Buffalo. Some of the craziest fans, they tailgate for 3 days before the game, and they jump off of RVs and crash through tables. Studly moves by the Buffalo Bills fan. I love it.
I would like to see you jump off an RV onto a table.
I'm an Eagles fan, and that would be plagiarism. So even though I'd love to jump off an RV onto a table and give a nice little forearm shiver right to through the middle of one of those bad boys, I don't want to plagiarize the Bills' great tradition. As an Eagles fan, I'll save the table jumping for the Bills guys.
All right. So we saw last week that the Bills can still beat up on bad teams. And despite what happened in Denver last week, which I'm still not sure exactly what that was, the Commanders, in my opinion, are a bad team. So I think the Bills can cover a 6.5-point spread. But I would watch for the weather, because if the weather's super bad, then it might be a low scoring game. You might not want to take a 7-point spread.
Well, I think the Patriots run game is probably more suited for an affair like this, where it's going to be wet and you're going to have to prove yourself running the ball. They're more prepared for a game like this year than they have for I've been in years past, in my opinion. I love the running game. I love the running backs that they're sporting. And
are you talking about the Patriots or the Bills? Because you said Patriots.
I'm saying Patriots, but I'm talking about the Bills. Okay. Did I say Patriots?
Okay.
Well, you know why? Because I'm thinking of Harris. I'm thinking I like Harris, and he really hasn't had to do much in the first two games for the Bills. But I think this is going to end up being one of those sloppy between the tackle run games. And I would start Damian Harris as the backup running back to see, and mostly you're looking at the other guy, James Cook, getting more receptions so far this season and actually running the ball. So I would look for the Bills have to force the run here in the bad weather. But because of the bad weather, I'll say the Bills will win, but I'm looking for the home dog to cover. I'll take Washington in the points.
Okay. All right. And this would be a good game to put in a teaser, basically money line bet on the Bills.
Yeah, I would go either way. Yeah, on the teaser.
All right. So the next game is the Texans at the Jaguars. This is a division game, correct?
Yeah. By the way, we're in different orders, so that's why it screwed me up a little bit. Okay. I have to mix my papers up.
Okay.
Texans, Jags, right?
Yep. The Jags are favored by 8.5. So last year, early in the season, they played a bit of a defensive battle, ended in a 13-6 win for the Texans. Texans have actually won 9 out of 10 of the last meetings. Obviously, these are two teams that have changed significantly over the years, but, I was on the Texans last week. I felt like it was a huge mistake. And you did win the one bet that we placed, because I threw this in at the end as the bet for the week. And that was not smart. So anyway, I'm going to go.
It's Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have 2 wins and I have 1 win on the season.
But I'm going to double down and go back to the well here. I don't think the Jags deserve to be 8.5-point favorites. Everybody seems to be all over Trevor Lawrence. I haven't seen anything spectacular. It's a division game. They always play tough. So I'm going to have to take the points and go with the Texans and go Nico Collins.
Yeah. And who's throwing him the ball? That's CJ Stroud.
Yeah. His reception total is 4.5, which seems like ridiculously low.
Before we even start, can I get 8?
I'm not making the same mistake. I'm not taking the Texans.
You just said you were making the same mistake, and you do like the Texans. I'll take Jacksonville.
Picking the Texans, but I'm not betting you the Texans.
All right, I like Jacksonville. I think they're going to blow them out here. CJ Stroud is the reason. I mean, he hasn't looked that good, and you know, look at the first two results of the Texans this year. They went on the road to the Ravens and lost 25-9. Then at home last week, they followed it up with that Colts game you talked about, 31-20. On top of that, so they haven't looked good. They haven't even looked close to covering an 8-point spread. I mean, they're close, but not covering. So on the flip side, you look at Jacksonville. What I really like out of Jacksonville was the win week 1 against the Colts, which was about 31-20, and it was around a 10-point line. So they were able to cover that game and hold on late, where this was a classic backdoor situation and the defense did not give up and allow the score late in the game. So 1 week to the next week, I just like the fact that their defense was still playing and didn't let up the late score. for that reason, I'm not scared of that big line. Eight and a half. I would go up to 10, blow out Jacksonville. Survivor pick all day.
Okay. All right. So
I don't like division games for survivor pick real quick. That's one of my rules is don't bet division games. But this is one exception I think you can make.
Okay. Very confident in that. You love, just love Trevor Lawrence, don't you?
I do love Trevor Lawrence. And I still am waiting for them to jump out. Look out for a big game from Zay Jones.
Still waiting. Still waiting. Still waiting. What happened to Calvin Ridley, by the way?
Zay Jones. Calvin Ridley looked good.
In week one.
Well, I just told you, Zay Jones. He's the one you have to look out for. They had a two touchdowns called back where he couldn't get the second foot down last week. So they are targeting him, and they're all so close. It's just a timing thing. That once Trevor Lawrence and Zay Jones get on the same page, and then you throw Ridley in there, who looked really good week one, this team, believe me, by towards the end of the year, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Next game is the Colts at the Ravens. And this is the final game subject to bad weather. We have Richardson. It will be out at quarterback for the Colts. Gardner Minshew will get the start.
Mustache.
Now, he came in to the game last week and finished it out well, but I kind of feel like that's his MO. Like, you guys had him as your backup last year.
The Eagles.
At some point, he played, like, decent, but then when he actually had to start, it wasn't good.
He's a good backup, not a good starter. I agree.
So, and Minshew actually played against the Ravens one time prior when he was the quarterback in Jacksonville. Now, there was like a revenge narrative there for some of the defensive players from the Ravens, but they took it to him pretty good in that game. That was back in 2020. He started that game with a sack in the end zone for safety, and the Ravens won 40-14. I don't know if they're going to come after him quite that way in this game, but it's the Ravens are favored by 8.5, and that feels like a big line to me as well. I think the Ravens probably do win, but I probably want to put them in a teaser.
Yeah, I just think it's too much, too many points.
Oh, and one other thing I forgot. I had to write it down here because there's so many. Ravens are without Odell Beckham, running back Justice Hill, center Tyler Linderbaum, offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley, safety Marcus Williams, cornerback Marlon Humphrey, and defensive end Odafe Owen.
Oh, that's a lot of people to miss in your starting lineup. I am going to say it's too many points. Gardner Minshew numbers last week, 19 of 23, 171 yards, one touchdown, 112.1 quarterback rating. Oh, Gardner Minshew. Are you kidding me? He's going to go in there and keep this game within a touchdown.
Okay.
I like Indy.
All right. Next game is the Falcons at the Lions. Lions let me down last week. They are also suffering some injuries. Left tackle Taylor Decker, right guard. I have no idea how you say his name. His first name's longer than his last name. Quarterback Emmanuel Mosley and safety Kirby Joseph, who I've never heard of. Falcons are run heavy defense. We saw the Seahawks have some success running the ball against the Lions. Could be a good Bijan Robinson game. I don't feel very confident in it, but like Falcons are, 2-0 on the season? Like, are they going to go 3-0?
That's one of my major points here, if I could just jump in with you. I mean, they're 2-0. Detroit is 1-1. If Detroit loses this game, they'll be 1-2. It just doesn't seem right that Atlanta would be 3-0 to start the season. I think that's the major gist here.
It doesn't sound like David Montgomery will play. I don't know if that makes much sense. And Josh Reynolds and Amon-Ra St. Brown are both questionable, but it sounds like they're going to play.
Yeah, I think that those two alone is too much firepower for the Atlanta defense to hold down. Along with that active running game that Detroit has, I like Detroit. Is that where you're going? I mean, if it's 3 points,
Lions, right? 3 points favorites.
Yeah, so I mean, anything in a field goal, I think I feel confident that Detroit will win. Hopefully, they can keep it outside of a field goal in this one.
All right, next game is the Saints at the Packers. Packers are -1.5 point favorites. I still don't have a feel for the Packers, and I probably said that every week. but I still, maybe I have to actually watch a Packers game.
Right. But if you look at this game, I mean, don't you look at this game very similar to what we were just talking about with the last game? New Orleans is 2-0. They're on the road coming into Green Bay. Well, I have a great feel for Green Bay, but New Orleans is 2-0. Are they going to go 3-0?
Well, what's the Packers record?
1-1.
1-1.
It's the same situation as the Detroit game. It's the same reason I would go Green Bay all day on this one.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't have a pick.
Is it a tough one? I love Green Bay. Like, Green Bay is one of my big plays this week because of that reason. I like Jordan Love. They're doing it with the running backs. A.J. Brown's leading the team in rushing.
Who?
I'm sorry, A.J. Dillon. I got A.J. Brown on the mind for the Eagles. We're not there yet, but A.J. Dillon leads the team in rushing yards. Aaron Jones, the other running back, the starting running back, leads the team in receiving yards.
Well, he didn't play last week, and I think he's questionable for this week.
All right. Well, then I still like Green Bay because both of those running backs, they can afford to lose one. I think Jordan Love has proven that, at least through the first two games, that he can do enough to get Green Bay into the end zone to win the game.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean,
yardage numbers.
Historically, the Saints have had a good run defense.
Right.
So if the way to beat them is through the air, do you think that Jordan Love can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can. I do. Okay. He's not going to throw for 300, right? 350 yards against them. And he probably will have a couple three and outs for sure. He's going to struggle like the young quarterback he is. But he's going to put up enough drives to get them into the end zone where I have confidence that at home Green Bay can hold New Orleans offense down. Remember, it's David Carr. You know, I kind of think I feel
not
victim.
David Carr.
Sorry.
If it was David Carr, I'd be on the Packers.
Yeah.
Derek
Carr was, I think I give him too much credit through the first couple of games. He's kind of shown that, you know, he's not going to throw up 50 points a week, you know, even with these receivers, Chris Olave and Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas looked pretty good last week, by the way. He had a bunch of targets early, too. So they were game planning to go to him. So that's good to see.
They probably
with New
have
Orleans.
To keep him happy to so he doesn't have a fit over Olave.
Yeah, because
kind of like an A.J. Brown.
Olave is
you don't want an A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith situation.
But you can argue
with your diva.
There's an argument like who's better, Smith or A.J. Brown. I don't think at this point you can really argue Michael Thomas, who's coming back off of 2 years worth of injuries. You know, he was great once, and Olave looks like an absolute stud and a great find for New Orleans when he drafted him last year out of Ohio State. So anyway, sounds like I'm pumping up the Saints here. I do like their prospects long term, but from the ebb and flow of the season, they're starting out 2-0. I don't think you go 3-0 here. Green Bay at home. I'll take Green Bay to win, and it's only a 1.5 point line, so you don't have too many points to worry about. So just about to pick them. What are you saying? You don't really feel that strong?
No, I have no take on that game.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Green Bay here.
Okay. Next game is the Broncos at the Dolphins. I don't know. Dolphins are -6.5 point favorites. So I don't know what happened last week in Denver. I wasn't like big on Denver, but Denver was my pick. I saw the score. They were up 21-3. And next thing you know, it turns into a shootout where they ended up losing 35-33 to the Washington Commanders at home. So obviously the Denver defense is not that good. They're going to be traveling down to Miami where it's hot. I like Miami in this game. One thing that worries me is that the Dolphins played the Patriots last week. They play the Bills next week. So it feels like a bad spot for them in the schedule. And I could almost see this being like that game that, you know, everybody's on the Dolphins and the Broncos win. So I'm a little worried about it, but the Dolphins would be my pick, and they would probably be in a teaser, or, you know, I would just bet the money line there, hoping that they at least win and just don't cover.
Yeah.
But this game has me worried.
No, I think you go the opposite. I think you bet Denver and you take the points with confidence. I mean, they're 0-2, right? Mm-hmm. Miami's coming into this game. What's their record? 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yeah.
Chargers.
Yeah, I think the key here is that everyone's going to be on Miami. I think you're 100% right. There's going to be a lot of Miami action going down in this game. People are loving Miami and Tua. He's the hot trending pick right now. It's their home opener, though. It's their home opener. There's going to be a lot of pressure. I think Denver can play some defense, and Russell Wilson lives for these types of moments. And, you know, it's a 1 o'clock game.
But, okay, if you couldn't get it done against the Washington Commanders, how are you going to get it done against Tua and Tyreek Hill? And
it's a new coach. It's Jalen Sean Payton. Waddle. You gotta take into account some of these guys. And, you know, for the most part, I'm going against the team with the majority of the offensive and defensive coordinators have shifted from what it was last season.
One other thing, Nick Fangio, who was, I guess, the head coach in Denver for a while, is the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins now.
All right, so he'll have a little bit of revenge, but he didn't, you know, I don't think it's enough. I mean, obviously
it was before Russell Wilson was there.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to try to make, was that it doesn't have much on him having an inside book on Russell Wilson, because he had an intimate look at him because their paths didn't cross. So I don't think it's as impactful. But I do know Nick Fangio had a tough time as the coach, as the Denver Broncos. So he's probably looking forward to playing them and maybe showing that he, you know, is a decent coach. But I don't think that's really the play here. I think the play here is that Denver's 0-2. They're going to be overlooked. I don't know that they win the game, but I'll take 6.5. Hopefully it pushes up to 7 by Sunday. I mean, is this a game I would think it would be 7 points by the time kickoff comes? Well, I mean, we'll see. I'm not trying to guess the line. I'm trying to guess the game. But I feel really strong on Denver here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I take Denver. You're saying Denver, right?
No.
No, are you saying Miami?
I'm saying the Dolphins, but the game, it feels like an any given Sunday type of game.
Can we go on this one? 6.5. I'll even let it be 6.5. Even though I think it's going to 7. It would behoove me to wait.
This game has me worried. I don't want to bet you.
All right. We'll find one of these.
Next game is the Panthers at the Seahawks.
I stopped keeping track of what games were picking the same, because I think when it came down to, at least last year when I was looking at it, the games where we're in agreement have a high, high, high winning percentage. You and I go back and forth. Like, you have a great week, I'll have a great week. Sometimes we'll have great weeks together. But when we overall pick the same picks, they have a high winning percentage. So that's really what you're looking for.
Okay. All right. The Seahawks,
talking to the fans out there.
Seahawks were favored by 6. Earlier today, it did move down to 5.5 on FanDuel since then. So Bryce Young is out at quarterback. Andy Dalton is in. So I don't know. I think you can run on the Panthers. It could be another big game for Kenneth Walker. I got to go Seahawks. But the Seahawks are like this team that just, they haunted me last year and they've haunted me so far this year. What do you got?
I have a slight play here on Seattle. I mean, Carolina's 0-2, but
they deserve to be 0-2.
They deserve to be 0-2. They're one of those teams where they have both offensive coordinators have changed, and the defensive coordinator and the head coach has changed. So when you have that much change going on one team, plus you throw in the rookie quarterback that they're running out there, it's going to be tough for them to go into Seattle.
Did you not hear what I just said?
What did you say?
Bryce Young is out. Okay. Andy Dalton is in.
Well, Andy Dalton makes not much of a difference. I think he sucks. So it probably is the same. Like, he's a little bit more veteran and might be able to put some more points up on the board. But I think Seattle's really going to give it to him at home. Andy Dalton
is just perfectly content to be the backup and sit on the bench and collect his paycheck. And when he finds out that he has to go into a game, he's like, ugh.
Hell no. I think Andy Dalton. Nah, I don't know about Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton is a rare quarterback that's, I think, pretty much has started since the beginning. You know, he was looked at as
a couple years.
TCU coming into the Bengals. He was a quarterback pretty much right away. So he's used to starting. I mean, up until the last couple of years, I think it gives him even more desire to stay in the league and try to.
I think he just wants his paycheck and he wants to sit on the
bench. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
I think he is.
I mean, like, I think Flacco is the type of guy that just wants to. Well, he did get beat up pretty bad, so maybe there's a chance he's just collecting a paycheck.
All right.
Regardless, I mean, it's not a big play for me, but I think you have to take Seattle at home here.
Well, anytime you say that, that's when I get worried. But okay, yeah, I'm on the Seahawks there. All right. Next game is the Bears at the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 12.5. So lots of drama in Chicago. So Justin Fields at a press conference the other day or whatever said that he feels robotic. And he plays better when he's thinking less. A reporter asked what's causing him to think so much. He said could be coaching. Shortly thereafter, he either chose to or was encouraged to walk it back and say that he would never blame the coaching or his teammates, that it's all on him, blah, blah, blah.
Meanwhile, they're trying to teach him how to read a damn defense, and he's too stupid to do to try.
Let me finish. The defensive coordinator, I don't remember, it was like Alan Williams or something. I didn't write down his name. Resigned earlier in the week. Really? He cited health concerns, but there's been some reporting that his house and potentially the Bears facility were raided by the FBI. We're not going to talk about the reason behind it because I think YouTube will not like that. So lots of drama, not good leading up to going into Arrowhead for this game. I definitely think the Chiefs win. I don't necessarily feel comfortable with the 12 and a half points, but I would tease it down or do like an alt line down to like 9.5, something along those lines. What do you got?
I don't really
Bears,
listening to you. It makes it sound like I want to go Chiefs, but I don't really like this game.
Okay.
Too many points.
It's a lot of points.
Yeah. And I'm not huge on Kansas City right now.
All right. Speaking of a lot of points, the next game is the Cowboys at the Cardinals. Cowboys are also favored by 12.5. They did have Trayvon Diggs go down at practice. He's out for the season. Obviously the Cowboys defense has been beating up on some teams. Week one against the Giants, 40-0. Last week, 30-10 against the Jets. Now they face the Cardinals, who are definitely one of the bottom teams in the league. It's a big line. They covered, it was a big line last week. I think it was like 10. So, I mean, they certainly can do it. Josh Dobbs, I don't know if he's prepared for Micah Parsons to be coming at him. So I can see it, but I just, it's too big a line to just bet.
Yeah. I mean, it's a high line, but I'm not going to take Arizona on this one.
No, I wouldn't either. I would probably tease that one down too.
Even with the dramatic injury that happened this week with Diggs, I think Dallas has enough to, the thing with Arizona is, yeah, they gave up that huge lead to the Giants, and the Giants are not really that good. So, you know, Dallas proved that they're much better. They're going to be on the road pretty much any team. Especially like in the NFC East is going to travel to Arizona. It's more like a home game with all the transplants that live out there from Washington, New York, Philadelphia. So, you know, I don't see much of a fight being put up, especially with Dobbs quarterback for Arizona against the Dallas Cowboys. I take, if you got to bet it, take the points, but it's not really strong play here for me.
All right, next game is the Steelers at the Raiders. Raiders are favored by -2.5. So we have the Steelers traveling west on a short week. The Steelers had 2 defensive touchdowns last week, 6 sacks on Watson. It was definitely their defense that won that game for them. I'm a little worried about Jimmy G going up against the Steelers defense, but I'm not worried about the Steelers offense. Apparently, some of the fans in the stadium on the last game were actually calling for the offensive coordinator to be fired. I can't take credit for these stats, but when in shotgun, they are passing 83% of the time. When quarterback's under center, they're running 90% of the time. They're not using any play action or any motion prior to the snap. So very predictable play calling. Is what Matt Canada is doing there as the offensive coordinator. So that's kind of always been my thing with the Steelers is that they don't make adjustments. They kind of just play the way they play. So, I mean, their defense has me a little bit worried, but I think offensively, I gotta go with the Raiders.
The best meme I saw this week, I think, was of the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh as a Halloween costume that said high school offensive coordinator Halloween costume. It's pretty pretty creative. I like Vegas. I think, I was wrong on Vegas last week. They went into Buffalo, and I think it was too much for Garoppolo, with the new offense, getting in there, used to the system. They just didn't show up. And you're coming up against the Bills, who are coming off the loss against the Jets in dramatic fashion and overtime with a punt return. They were highly focused, especially with – all the criticism or the media story of Diggs kind of being unhappy as the wide receiver up there in Buffalo. So it was a tough spot, basically, is the point for Vegas. I think ebb and flow here. Pittsburgh just come off the win, short week. They travel to Vegas. Vegas wins this game. I like Garoppolo to be able to manage. It's going to be like one of those tight ones, maybe 24-20, 24-14, but I like Vegas here. It's only 2.5, less than 3 points.
Okay. All right. So we're on the same side of that one. All right. Next game is the Eagles at the Bucks. Eagles are favored by -4.5. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Well, I mean, I was going to let you talk about this one, and I was just going to come in here with my pick because how you suggested that I don't get so wordy.
Well, here's
the podcast. I think this is one of the spots where we can agree that I could cut a little bit down.
Well, let me ask you a question first, because I kind of thought that last week when the Eagles played the Vikings, like Kirk Cousins is one of those quarterbacks, like if you can get him uncomfortable, pressure him, then you can get him off his game and you can win. Now, Baker Mayfield, very similar. Like if you guys are going to get to him, you're going to make him uncomfortable. And I would easily pick the Eagles. But the fact that you didn't do it last week against Kirk Cousins, are you going to do it against Baker Mayfield? Like, are you able to? Is the defense not as good this year as it was last year?
I don't think it's, I think they actually have more talent than they did last year. The problem is that they're young. Right. So you replace a Hargrave, who was an all pro. And believe me, it's tough for me to say that anybody's better than him because that guy was awesome. With the number one defensive tackle coming out of the draft, that guy's an absolute stud and should have been the number one pick overall. That the Eagles luckily got him at 9. They have an injury with Avante Maddox in the slot. That's going to hurt. But, I think the problem is that we have a new defensive coordinator. He's not used to calling. He's Sean Desai has called one season, I think, defensively for the Bears 2 years ago before he got the defensive coordinator role with the Philadelphia Eagles. So the problem is them kind of getting on the same page with the play calling. I think that you make a good point last week, that Kirk Cousins, even though they lost the game, he seemed to have a lot of success against the Eagles defense. I think this is a bad spot for the Eagles.
The Patriots had more offense against you guys in week one than I would have expected too. So
yeah, but remember they got a lot of their offense late in the game when they were playing comeback. So you tend to
play. I wouldn't
say
that. It was 16-0 at halftime. Yeah.
Right.
But that's not like 16-0.
And then what happened?
16-0.
We're playing. Oh. 16-0 means that New England scored all their points in the second half, you genius.
I know, but it wasn't like you were up like 35-0. Yeah, like 16-0, that's a football game.
The point is they had no points
at halftime.
And
they did come back.
And I said they scored all their points in the second half. And then you said that they're only up 16-0.
You said late in the game. I don't
know. The second half early or late in the game?
But it's not like late.
I could go all day. What? Really?
It's half the game. It's not late.
Yeah, it's the second half of the game. The first half, which is early. Second half, late. You get it? We're going to have to sit down and go to school again on football.
It wasn't like garbage time.
All right. So anyway, I digress. I'm going to cut to the chase here. This is a bad spot for the Eagles. I think somebody could argue, if you're looking at this objectively, that they got lucky in both of their wins. And that even though I think the true heart of it is not that the Eagles are bad, it's just, again, even on the offensive side of the ball, they have a new offensive coordinator who's not calling plays well. We all saw how they started to run the ball last year. And kind of when the Eagles have gone on the run in 17, and when they went on the run the year after, there was like an early game where it was an epiphany that the offensive coordinator started calling more runs for the running backs, and the running backs, three-headed monster in 17.
You're not going to be able to run on that.
And Ajayi, I think that maybe this is a wake-up call and they could run the ball more and spread the ball around with their plethora of running backs. However, I don't know that they go on the road after winning two games that they could have arguably lost, especially last week. I mean, you fumbled the ball over the pylon, you know, when you should have scored a touchdown. That's the difference in the game right there. And that's the best receiver in football. So, I mean, it's pretty lucky that that happened. I think even though Baker Mayfield is not somebody that, you know, exudes confidence against this Philadelphia defense, I think Tampa squeaks one out here. They're getting 5 points. Even if Atlanta wins the game or Philly wins the game, which they damn well could, I wouldn't give more than a field goal on the road on a Monday night game. I think you got to be crazy to do it too. And I'm a huge Eagles fan, so I'll take Tampa all day.
Are you really taking Tampa Bay?
I'll take the points all day.
Really? I'm shocked.
You want to go against them? I mean,
all right. Well, because
trying to be as objective as possible. I think they got lucky the first two games. I don't think they're solved anything. It's something that where I think their problem is with the Eagles, it's something that is going to slowly improve throughout the season and can improve in great manner. But what scares me is that if you can't call plays, you don't just miraculously learn how to call offensive plays. Like, you can get better and be a good play caller. You don't have to be good right away, but not everybody can call plays. And it's not a guarantee that just over time that you'll be able to understand what you need to do from a mix up the run and pass and, you know, play design. So it's going to be interesting to see here if the Eagles offensive coordinator can get his act together. All right, I don't think it's going to be this week.
I have one other question for you.
Please.
Can Jalen Hurts read a defense now?
No, he's not sitting back there like Joe Montana going through read after read, just like Justin Fields is complaining because they're trying to make him make reads. It's too difficult for him. It's too difficult for a lot of people, but he can get better if he sticks with it. And that's the key. And what I see in Jalen Hurts is somebody who has possibility to be able to read it. But again, just like I said about the offensive coordinator, it's not guaranteed that you can, as a coordinator, end up calling plays better. You might not be able to ever do it. Just like that in a quarterback, you might not ever be able to, no matter how much you practice, be able to read a defense and not get confused because everything has to happen so fast.
Okay.
So I have confidence he will get there, but he's not there yet.
Reason I asked the question is because you guys played the Bucs, in the playoffs in 2021. And there was that clip of one of the guys, one of the coaches saying he can't read a defense.
He can't.
So Todd Bowles, that's exactly what his approach to this game is going to be.
He can read it better. He can read the defense. I think he knows what he's in, but he's not at least mature enough to be able to scramble within the pocket to make the play. He started doing that a little bit last year. He's not there this year. He appears to be, and maybe it's not him necessarily. I mean, he looked more advanced last year, clearly. And maybe it's the whole offense as a whole, and we're trying to get the ball out so that we can help the offensive coordinator as well. Maybe there is just two reads in these plays, but there's more than two actual reads. Like when you're looking at the plays, there's guys running open and he's not coming off his first or second read. It really seems remedial, like he's looking downfield at the one read and then it's a check down. But what I meant by he's not mature enough to go through his reads is that he will feel the heat and start to run the ball. He'll start to run the ball before he gives himself enough time to have enough confidence to sit there. And if they made him kind of sit in the pocket a little bit, not even really sit in the pocket, I'm okay with him scrambling side to side and reestablishing the pocket. But you have to have confidence to be able to slow up, stop, and throw. Jalen has shown that he can throw on the run, but those are all play designed to run out and throw and hit the guy down towards the sideline on most of those. So, no, the answer is he is not like making three or four reads. He doesn't have a mastery of the offense, and hopefully that comes.
All right. So, I mean, my original thought on this game was it's Eagles defense versus Baker Mayfield. And then I had all these other thoughts about Todd Bowles and all that stuff. And I really, really, really hate to pick Baker Mayfield, but I think I'm going to take the Bucs. I think I have to.
I think Baker Mayfield can keep them close to the game where I think the Bucs defense could, you know, they're going to bring the heat. They're going to blitz Hurts. And if Hurts could stand in there and deliver the ball deep, I think they have an advantage on both sides with A.J. Brown and Smith to be able to make deep plays. But we'll see. It's early in the season. You know, they weren't really hitting in camp, so they're not at full game. They're still like midseason form. Does that make sense?
I had a stat. I didn't write it down here. I have it written down downstairs. But Jalen Hurts has like the worst success rate, like throwing the ball to his receivers in the whole entire league. So
this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's part of AJ Brown's frustration the last game on the sidelines, because he's not getting a lot of looks.
Part of his frustration is seeing Devontae Smith catch a bomb
for 67-yard touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what his frustration. Meanwhile, he has like 6 targets for 29 yards. So
it's common. Right. AJ Brown just needs to be patient.
All right. Anyway. All right, so you're on the Bucs, I'm on the Bucs. But see, I feel like anytime you take the other team, then the Eagles win. Are you like reverse psychologying this whole situation right now because you want the win?
Well, as I talk about it, I'm debating whether I should tell the fans out there to take the Eagles, because a lot of times when I'm against the Eagles, they win.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to reverse psychology anything. I don't like the way they looked. I think I nailed exactly the reason why they look so poor, and it's not the talent on the field. But some of the talent on the field is just young and fresh, like your rookies. Like a Nolan Smith hasn't really done much, got much playing time. That guy's going to be an impact player when he gets a chance.
All right. I don't know. This will be an interesting game to watch. It's either going to be like an absolute blowout, or it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, Jalen Carter, I mean, it's just a difference maker.
I think it really comes down to Baker Mayfield, honestly.
The whole difference maker with the Eagles is going to be when Jalen Carter like arrives as the next Warren Sapp. Like, he's showing signs of it, and it's showing signs of it early. So once he gets his act together from a being a professional standpoint, watch out for what's going to happen with the Eagles defense.
Okay. All right. So the last game of the week is, and why are they doing these two Monday night games? This is 2 weeks in a row.
I can't really answer it. And what really befuddles me is the fact that they are not – it seems like the whole purpose of putting these time differences is so that you don't have to sit through the half times, because you'll have a team playing. But I don't know why you would start a game at 7 and then follow one, you know, less than an hour later. I liked where they were, you know, starting one at 7, starting one at 10. They used to when they started the doubleheaders on Monday night, but I don't understand why they're starting one. It's at, you know, 7:15 and the other one at 8:15.
All right. Anyway, the last game on the list is the Rams at the Bengals. Bengals are favored by -3. It did move down to -2.5. Rams have come out this season much more competent than I expected. There is a question mark as to whether Joe Burrow is going to play. Now, I don't know if the calf was ever like good, but I think what they're saying at least is like he re-aggravated it in week 2. And there's some weird like story circulating about like apparently the president of the Bengals, Mike Brown, rides a golf cart around the facility while they're practicing. So he picked up Joe Burrow, took him for a little circle around, and then dropped him back off. And they said that Burrow didn't look like happy when he got off. So I don't know if like he's telling him like you're not playing. I don't know, but that was kind of like the speculation.
Whatever Mike Brown, if Mike Brown is making any decision, there's a problem. Like, Mike Brown is not going to make the right decision. He should just get out of it.
Mike Brown just paid him $275 million. Maybe you don't want him getting hurt out there in week 3.
Yeah, well, if you talk to Bengals fans that I know, they're not big Mike Brown fans.
And well,
Mike
I don't
Brown
know.
Has been
I have
a long
no idea,
time.
But that's what I saw.
Problem.
So anyway, do you know who the Bengals backup quarterback is?
Oof, that's a good question. I should know who it is.
Because I would have thought it was like, who's that, Allen kid or something. I never heard this guy's name. Jake Browning. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Vikings in 2019. He spent 2019-21 basically on the Vikings practice squad. And then he's been with the Bengals since 21. So he's never started an NFL game. I don't know if he's ever played.
Should know the offense.
In an NFL game. So.
So you're telling me you don't know if starting quarterback for the Bengals is playing.
But obviously the line will change if they whirl Joe Burrow out. But I think under the circumstances and the way Burrow's played the first couple games, you got to take the points with the Rams. And don't worry, because Sean McVay will kick a field goal at the end to give you the backdoor cover.
Do you know what I'm wondering is, do you think we could get our ratings up if you did some kind of flying off a ladder onto the table?
What if you did it in a bikini? People would probably be more interested to see you do it than me.
No. I think if you got in a bikini and climbed up on a ladder and jumped on the table.
Don't make me post the slip and slide video. Ratings are going through the roof. All right. So do you have a pick on this last game?
People love to see 40-year-olds do a slip and slide.
It's hilarious.
I don't have a pick on this game.
Okay. All right. So that's going to do it for us for week 3.
Don't forget to like or subscribe.
You got to be the promo guy because I'm not real good at it.
Well,
You're a natural salesman, Steve. Come on.
I just did it.
Step it up. I just covered
your tracks for forgetting to say it in the opening.
Where's the exit music?
Oh, that one is a loser.
All right. That's going to do it for us.
All right.
Peace out.
Go Birds.